Good evening. This is Life Rattle, your story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1371, we feature three stories by new Life Rattle writer Kristen Lottis. Kristen Lottis was born in 1996 in Mississauga, Ontario. Kristen's grandparents and parents, originally from Greece, settled in Canada in their early adulthood. When Kristen was 2 years old, her parents divorced. She and her mother lived with her grandparents for 19 years, until they recently moved out on their own. Kristen loves to write. Friends, family, and imagination have influenced her to write stories about her life and the lives of those she loves. She is currently working on a young adult novel. Apart from writing, Kristen is happiest when she is dancing or singing. It's a good thing for us that Kristen loves to write, because her writing provides us readers with some fantastic material. With a masterful hand, Kristen brings us into the life of a young child, a girl just beginning high school, and a university student. At each stage of life, the language, dialogue, and details are so natural that you can easily slip into the skin of the narrator. The subtle nuances, especially apparent in our first two featured stories, give us the psychic space to experience the happenings in a way that allows us to find ourselves in the characters depicted. Tonight's first story plunges us into the final stages of a young family's dissolution. The child's longing for her father is palpable, and her innocent expectations when he arrives for a visit simply deepen the sorrow that arrives with the news he has come to deliver. Let's listen now as Kristen Lottis reads her story, Drawing.
Drawing by Kristen Lottis. Daddy is coming home today. I think he might have been on vacation. I drew Daddy a picture at school as a welcome home present. I dreamed that one day I will own an art studio. I love drawing horses and pictures of my mom and I. I sit in the den with my mom. We quietly watch cartoons together. Her arms surround me. She keeps me warm. Caillou hugs his mommy and daddy on the screen. A car rumbles into the driveway. I jump out of my Winnie the Pooh chair, drawing in hand. Mom slowly rises from the carpet and unlocks the front door for me. It squeaks open. Daddy stands in front of me. I see his shiny Toyota behind him. I run into his arms. "Hi, sweetheart. How's my little girl?" he asks as he gives me a solid hug. I forgot what his hugs felt like. He compliments my owl pajamas. I clutch the drawing in my right hand. "I missed you, Daddy." I smile and dance around the brick porch barefoot, the ground still warm. I notice he is bald. The last time I saw him, he had hair on his head. He now wears frameless glasses. The sun is saying its goodbyes. Mom comes outside and leans against the pillar. Her dark eyes watch me and Dad. She tucks a piece of hair behind her left ear and folds her skinny arms. Dad sits on the mahogany bench by the berry tree where my grandpa and I share stories. The bench creaks. A bird chirps overhead. I look over at the rose bed behind me and at the carnations, tulips, and peonies in the garden. Dad wears a suit. I have never seen him so dressed up. He grins and tilts his head. "Sit on my lap, darling." He motions me to join him. I sit and hug his neck. I am warm. He shaved. Daddy's bright blue eyes lock with mine. Mine are blue, just like his. I feel a sense of uneasiness from him. I feel goosebumps on my skin. I shuffle myself closer to keep warm, still clenching the drawing. He hasn't asked me about it yet. His news must be more exciting for him not to notice. My toes curl. There's something I want to ask you. His voice is low and serious. I feel my hands become sticky. How would you feel if I got married? My eyes widen. Clouds thick in the sky. I begin to shiver. I turn my head to face Mom. We share a look. Mom crouches and lifts her hand to her lips. Her soft sobs fill the air. I stand up. I stand for a moment and look at him. My mom looks at me. I sprint back into the house without a word. Struggling up the long wooden staircase, the echo of Mom's and Dad's voices stings my ears, following me all the way up to my bedroom. I unfold the crinkled drawing, take one last look, and tear it in half.
That was Kristen Lattice reading her story, Drawing. Our second story will raise your heart and let you feel the excitement and self-consciousness that comes with the first day of high school, especially if you're lucky enough to be seated beside an attractive classmate with the bluest eyes and excellent penmanship. Let's listen now as Kristen Lattice reads her story, Combination to My Heart.
The Combination to My Heart by Kristen Lattice. The loud school bell announces the beginning of my first year at Philip Pocock Catholic Secondary School. I find myself in the science department on the second floor, waiting for the rest of my life to start. Some older girls laugh at each other. A group of boys playfully punch each other's shoulders. I hope I make some new friends. I do not want to endure math and science classes alone. I enter the hot, windowless classroom. Posters plaster the walls. Every desk holds a student's schedule. I look for mine and find it on the desk closest to the door. I place my notebooks and pencils on the solid plastic top streaked with old gum. The inside of the desk presents a gallery of past teachers and a small pink heart engraved with the initials S and A. I sit in the plastic chair and survey the room. Other frightened niners sit in silence. I don't recognize a single person. A sliver of sweat trickles down the nape of my neck. I shift my weight and smile at the turtle-faced teacher, Mr. Piamontese. An older man with whiskers of hair jutting out just above his ears. His pointy nose sticks up as his small eyes scan the room. Resting my head on my hand, I glance over at the vacant desk next to me. I read the name Daniel on the white schedule. I hope Daniel is smart, cute, or funny, and not some gross boy with an ugly haircut. Thoughts of this new boy swirl in my head. Would he be a potential friend, boyfriend, ex-boyfriend, enemy, annoying, or otherwise unbearable person? Whatever he is, I hope he understands science better than I do. Mr. Piamontese introduces his educational background. In a boring monotone, he tells us what we will be learning throughout the year. As he speaks, a boy stumbles into the classroom and clumsily plops himself into the chair next to mine. He gives me a quick look and breathes out, "Hey." "Hi." I smile and hold my glance for a second longer. He sits close to me. I study him for the rest of the hour, the contours of his face, his short blonde hair, his glossy blue eyes, the color I wish I had. The bell chimes to signal the end of first period. I endure the rest of the day alone until I meet up with my best friends, Dee and Sarah. Day two of high school resembles the first day. Daniel keeps quiet. I constantly look at his notebook, inconspicuously copying him. His writing is interesting. No one else I know writes in cursive. I can't help but observe him and his writing style. He fascinates me. I try to find the right words to start a conversation. I can accidentally drop my pencil and see if he picks it up. I could make up a question about the lesson. I don't want to sound dumb. Halfway through the class, Mr. Piemontese hands out locks to each student. I open the box and attempt to open my lock. I try the combination over and over. "Stupid lock," I blurt out. Did I just say that out loud? Daniel leans my way. Shit. I'm making a fool of myself. Stop. Pretend like you didn't say anything. Need some help? He asks with a grin. I feel the heat of embarrassment cover my face. Sure, I murmur, handing him the silver lock. I read the combination. 15, 36, 30. He turns the dial to the right, then to the left twice, and to the right again. Click. His eyes catch mine. Oh, well, I almost had it, I giggle. We quietly work on notes for the rest of the period.
That was Kristen Lattice reading her story, Combination to My Heart. For our final story, Kristen Lattice delivers a touching tribute to a dear friend of hers who died at far too young of an age, just over a year ago. Her story matches a beautiful depiction of a group of five young women just entering adulthood to the painful, tragic loss of one of their circle, known as the Fabulous Five. Let's listen now as Kristen Lattice reads her tribute to her friend Joanna, tonight on Life Rattle.
Joanna by Kristen Lattice. As time progressed, her mysterious ailment grew worse. Unable to move, unable to speak, the pain was becoming unbearable. January. I show my family the pictures from Joanna's debut in December. A traditional Filipino coming-of-age 18th birthday celebration for women. I hand my mom a picture of the decorated hall. Joanna's family transformed Bowdoin's banquet into a scene from Beauty and the Beast. Golden blue ribbons hang on every chair. Golden candelabras, topped with bouquets of pink roses, sit as the centerpiece of each table. A two-tier pink cake and 18 pink roses adorn the middle of the head table. My favorite picture from that night, Joanna and I and our three closest friends from ballet class. The four of us dressed in flowing pastel pink dresses surround Joanna. She wears a sparkling gold dress that complements her caramel-colored skin. A smooth golden sash hugs her waist. Her long, dark hair, pulled back and braided into an elegant updo, is crowned with a silver tiara that perches on her head, as if it's meant to be there. Her simple makeup lets her natural beauty shine. Anna, Jean Lee, Jessica, myself, and Joanna, the Fabulous Five. How stunning Joanna looks in that golden gown and her smile. It could brighten anyone's day. Right after that picture was taken, Joanna grabbed my hand and pulled me to her dressing room. "What's wrong?" I asked. She rummaged through her bag, throwing everything on the floor. "There they are," she said with relief. "Could you put on my earrings and necklace for me, please?" I laughed and placed the gold necklace around her neck and carefully put on her earrings. "You're so beautiful, Jo," I smiled. She gave me a big hug. "Oh, stop it. You're prettier." The week before, Joanna had asked us if we would perform the Mad Tea Party piece, a dance from Alice in Wonderland, our last performance at the ballet school we graduated from last May. Joanna portrayed the Red Queen and I, Alice. "Some of my family couldn't come to the performance, and they haven't seen our Mad Tea Party piece," she explained. "We can mix some Alice in Wonderland with Beauty and the Beast. It would be fun." Of course, we couldn't say no. Joanna and I met 12 years ago at our dance studio, our second home, at the age of 6. Every year from then on, we were placed in the same class, first on Saturday, then Tuesday, and then Thursday. As we grew older, we danced outside of our ballet school together, at church performances, school concerts, even playing Just Dance in her basement for fun. You're all the best. Thank you so much for being a part of my birthday. Thank you for everything you have done for me. You guys mean so much to me, Joanna said as we huddled together after our Mad Tea Party performance. Early March. I was perfectly fine. All of a sudden, I got this never-ending fever, Joanna tells me. Mid-March. Joanna's fever continues to rise. I text her every day to check up on her. She updates me on what is happening, how she is feeling, and what she is studying. She tells me she will be released from the hospital in a few days to write her calculus exam. I don't know where she gets the energy to go downtown and write an exam. And then she tells me that she will go to work after the exam. Joanna plays piano for the ballet classes at the Mississauga Ballet Association. A few days go by. A friend sends a message out to Joanna's debut group on Facebook. I hold my breath and read the message. Joanna is in the hospital again and will be undergoing surgery. Doctors have diagnosed her with Still's disease. The hospital requested that no visitors be allowed. I quickly Google the unfamiliar disease. It's rare and starts with a sore throat, a rash, and high fever. It's an inflammatory type of arthritis and affects joints. The causes are still unknown. Monday, March 23rd. I text Joanna before class. Be brave, you can conquer anything. She replies several hours later. I love you. Thank you for checking up on me. Thursday, April 2nd. Last day of school. I have the feeling I should call Joanna to check in. Her phone rings and rings and rings. Voicemail. I leave a short message telling Joanna how much I love her and that everything will be okay. The next day, I decide to send her a couple of funny pictures to make her feel better. I send her one of us on a double date at Square One, a shot with her and Jean Lee pretending to be Rose and Jack from Titanic, and one of the Fabulous Five holding each other's legs and laughing. No reply. Saturday, April 4th. I wake up at 9 o'clock a.m. The sun shines in my eyes and warms my room. I turn on my phone. Missed call, 3:14 a.m. I receive a notification that I have a Facebook message. It is with great sadness that I post here this morning. Our good friend Joanna Valdez has passed away. My heart drops. I am paralyzed for the rest of the day. Later that evening, my old and new friends, people Joanna introduced me to when I performed at her church play, attend the Easter Vigil at Saints Peter and Paul's Church. In honor of Joanna, we all wear pink, her favorite color. As the Easter Vigil nears its end, we stand to sing Oceans by Hillsong United, a song Joanna loved. The entire church falls silent. I almost make it halfway through the song before I get too choked up to sing. People slowly file out of the church. Our group sinks into the pews and into each other's arms. No one thinks to wish the other happy Easter. As we approach the exit, we stand in shock before the open doors. Snow gracefully dances in the air, brightening the night. My friend Anna looks at me with a grin and puffy eyes. Joanna loved the snow. Thank you.
That was Kristen Lattice reading Joanna. Kristen, your love for Joanna shines as brightly in this tribute as the picture you show us of Joanna. We will all remember her now. This concludes Life Rattle number 1371. My name is Lori Callis. I had the pleasure of recording Kristen reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Arnie Ackman and Guy Allen. Be sure to tune in next week for a special Life Rattle program hosted by John Currie.